Hey there, quick warning, some light cursing in this episode, so plan accordingly. Thanks.
Welcome to Hip Hop Movie Club. 1 week ago today, as we're recording, our man, Professor Andrew McIntosh, aka DJ Arm18, brought the legendary Chuck D of Public Enemy fame to the campus of Northampton Community College in Bethlehem for a discussion. This was the capstone event for the college's 2024 annual humanities theme, 50 Years Down the Line, a celebration of hip-hop history and culture. Arm, did I get that right?
That's right.
Okay. With us also now is our man DJ Cap C, who was on the Wheels of Steel before and after the event.
Yes, sir.
JB, take it away.
Yeah, so first off, holy crap, guys. Chuck D in, you know, blue-collar Bethlehem, free, with meet and greets. What a night. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. As I was saying, you're making Bethlehem the epicenter of hip hop. I mean, this is on the heels of a successful event with bringing Grandmaster Caz and Cold Crush Brothers a couple months back. And it was, the event with Chuck D was just widely attended. And he was so gracious to like stay behind and meet and greet people afterwards, pictures, shaking hands, chatting with people. So thank you for bringing him to the masses here.
Listen, 100%, you're welcome. Thank you for being a big part of supporting it and spreading the word.
Of course. Of course. We were fanboying. Like, oh my God. So first question, Arm, how did you decide to target Chuck D as a speaker for this event?
I put together a list of people and, you know, I was bouncing ideas off of, you know, heads like Cap, and so on, where we would just kind of rattle off people we knew that were on the circuit or we know would be an interesting interview. A couple of factors came into play, and that was like, you know, budget and so on, was first and foremost, kind of drove things. I want to say that Questlove was probably someone that I was kind of first thinking about, but learned early on through the booking agencies that we're working with that his availability is nil and his cost is huge. So that was kind of out of the question. And we kicked around other guys. I don't know, Cap, if you remember those conversations. I remember Wolf was in town, right? We started kicking it around back then, when he was visiting. And I think we were also thinking about Mass Appeal too.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You know, like there's tons of different performing artists and rappers and MCs I would love to interview, but I don't necessarily know if they would like broadly appeal, you know?
Yeah, I think we were toying around with, you know, obviously KRS's name came into the fold. You know, we were trying to, but KRS was here already. Actually, he was here a while ago. He was at Lehigh. And, so I think Chuck D, I think we just kind of basically, and I think it was more you than anything, that basically was like, you know, I think Chuck D would be the perfect fit. And you know what? And he basically was the perfect fit. So, and, you know, I want to give, first of all, let's do this. I'm going to say this right now off the bat. Arm, like, seriously, I'm going to give you your flowers, like, because in this past year alone, you did so much with, you know, with Northampton on your side and trying to get these events going, and you brought me into the fold with it, and I helped you out, you know, with what I could do and be there for. And I just want to say thank you for that opportunity, because that was just so dope that, you know, everything came to fruition. You know, we did what we had to do, we worked through it. And it just, you know, it popped off. So the grand, you know, everything from the beginnings, you know, right to, you know, Grandmaster Caz, and, you know, and then obviously with Chuck D at the end. So I just want to give you flowers on that, and just, you know, and you know, I think overall, just I wouldn't even say Bethlehem, but just Lehigh Valley as an overall, you know, they know about us. They've been here. They've toured here. They've done shows out here. They know about these places. And I think it was just real dope to show them again, like, hey, you know, we're a viable location for them. And, you know, and a lot of these people, you know, we've now have garnered relationships with these people, and you know, there is things, there is talks for future stuff now, and you know, things that, you know, me and Arm have talked about now that maybe we should, you know, for the future about, you know, where we're gonna go. And but overall, man, thanks, you know, I just want to give you your flowers on that, brother, because you definitely went through a lot too, like, you know, personally, you know, we're not going to talk about personal, but you did go through a lot personally, and still to, you know, come through and persevere with all this stuff happening. I mean, that speaks volumes about you, brother. So,
appreciate you, man, for saying that and being down since day one on this, when we were just kind of kicking around these ideas. It's a good reminder, the way that you talked about August and where we were and where we began. It was kind of humble. Like we kicked it off with a party, mm-hmm. you know, at Music Fest, and that was really live and it had a really good energy. And we took that little Four Elements party to our, you know, Northampton's college mm-hmm. campus. And I thought those were pretty dope. There was that one day, you remember, it was like 96 degrees in yes. the shade. Like we were melting. So it's like we really did put in the work for it. And then, you know, it came to fruition. And so I like how, you know, Dino, you called it the capstone event. That's a good way to put it. Chuck came and kind of tied everything together. And I thought like his talk too was unintentionally kind of about the origins of hip hop, which is kind of what we had been focusing on all mm-hmm. year, which was perfect, you know?
So what was that process like? So you decide Chuck D's the person. How long did it take before you could officially announce that it was him?
We put in solicitations almost a year ago at this time, and okay. it took 2 to 3 months to just hear back.
Sure.
And we think this could work in early July, and we talked with management and the booking agents in mid July, and then I think it was like right before our first event on August 11th at Music Fest, like the week before, we got the message that everything worked out, like schedule wise, et cetera. There was a date that would work. The price was agreed upon and it was like awesome. And so we could informally tell people, yeah, we've got Chuck D coming, you know, but we couldn't really formally do any advertising or marketing until other things were in place. And that wasn't until the fall. So it's like, you know, I have a little bit of familiarity in this business, but I think we all sometimes forget as we are fans and consumers and we love the culture, but you know, the machine behind all of this, you know, is big and vast, moves slowly but very deliberately and effectively. Part of the, and Chuck is a testament to that, why he's one of the, you know, half a dozen to a dozen hip hop artists from that era that still represents and can, like, you know, pull 1,000 people on a Tuesday night by just talking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he's it's not only the show part he's got down, he's got the business part down as well, you know. But you'd never guess that, because I think JB, you had said it, all the credit to the world to Chuck D for being a very gracious and kind and just fucking everyday guy. Like that was the amazing and disarming part about it. Whether he was talking to someone, a student, the president of the college, us, whatever, he was always on the same level, you know?
Right on. What was your biggest takeaway from the actual conversation with Chuck D? I mean, we found him to be very insightful, engaging, inspirational. Like, what was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway was that Chuck has, he's very passionate, and sitting next to him, I could kind of feel the part where it was like a casual back and forth. And I would almost say the first 15 minutes to a half hour were just real. The energy with him was pretty casual and it was cool. It was, you know, breaking me in pretty good, you know. But then as he started talking, like as we got talking about the history, like at Adelphi University, where Spectrum City, the DJ crew he belonged to, how they came together, the music they were playing, the early hip hop years. He got very passionate. I remember, like, at one point, I remember he bellowed into the mic, and I was like, "Yo, this is what it's like to be."
I felt that too. I remember that moment.
I'm like, that's the Chuck we hear on record, and like, it's coming out, you know.
Yep.
And that was really cool to behold, you know, how he kind of regulates and manages that. I want to give props to the students we brought on stage who asked a variety of questions at the end. In particular, a student of mine named Andra asked him about his graphic novels and his creative process, and his energy shifted, and he got very personal as he talked about what went into the making of that graphic novel. I was joking with her afterwards. I was like, you know, I was on stage with him for an hour. I didn't get anything like that with him. Like, you know, all the credit goes to her for doing some research and, you know, about a specific topic in his artistry, you know, beyond the music is his graphic novel work and some of the ideas that go into that graphic novel. And she had him open, in my opinion. It was a pretty honest and authentic moment. It was cool to experience that.
I want to follow up on that. So you picked the students and they generated the questions themselves?
Yep. Yes.
What was the process for picking the students? Because they were terrific, all four of them.
Dig it. You know, I just, higher ed, you know, the most important relationship in higher ed, and you know, it's not the administration and it's not the faculty chairs and it's just student and teachers. Nothing else goes on without students and teachers. So I always felt like I wanted, you know, student involvement in this event where they were visible and not just in the audience. And we kind of put out feelers with other professors or I myself in my classroom about students that were kind of a cut above the rest. You know what I mean? Like they just were ready and willing to kind of take on the challenge of speaking in front of 1,000 people, meeting someone like Chuck D. You know, and they didn't necessarily have to be like hip hop heads or like Public Enemy fans. I was looking for people who were interested in the production of culture and talking about hip hop music and American history, you know, and all those students fit the bill and they all kind of approached it in their own different way. So it was pretty cool.
Cause that's a tough, that can be tough for people of that age because Chuck D isn't of their era.
You know, right.
That's our music.
Sure.
From 30 years ago.
Right.
40 years ago.
It would have been like, if I was in high school or college and I got to interview like Smokey Robinson or something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like, oh, I know who this guy is, but like, I don't, you know,
and,
I didn't
you know,
grow up with him.
Right. They didn't grow up with him and they may not actually know who he is. So, right. You know, kudos to them for having some sense of history and, you know, American history.
Yep.
I mean, in the magnitude of this event, bringing Chuck D, I was trying to equate it to sports because my family is, you know, heavily into sports. I was like telling my son, I was like, this is like LeBron James or like a Kobe Bryant or like a Michael Jordan type figure of hip hop. And he knows it. Like, he's like, this is amazing. Like it was just that big. Like
I'll give you another player comp.
Yeah.
I would say Barkley. That's, you know what I mean?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's vocal, right? Yeah.
He's vocal.
And he has
a presence. Yeah.
Presence. And you know, like Chuck has a couple platinum albums, but it's like it's a different thing. It's not, I mean, when we think about Charles Barkley, we think about kind of everything he's done, right? From Auburn to where he's at now. And I think Chuck D is similar. It's like, I mean, if somebody's like, yo, and be honest, like 10 years ago, you remember Peter Rosenberg on Hot 97 was like, yo, Chuck D hasn't done much for the culture lately. And he got, you know, Rosenberg got railroaded for saying things like that because it's like, you don't understand. Like, this is a dude that's operating above and beyond like what's hot, like whatever's the hottest new thing being released.
Yeah.
He's really expanded his vision of what Public Enemy is and honestly what hip hop can be. And so that's why I would compare him to Barkley in that sense. Like, yeah, he may not have 6 rings, but I mean, we all know Sir Charles, he balled in his day and he's still doing his thing.
It's funny because Chuck D references Charles Barkley in Rebel Without a Pause. He actually says something like slam like Barkley.
Yep.
Running a face like Barkley. Yep.
I want to see, like, get some other voices, like Boogie or Cap. Like, what was your takeaways from the speech? Because it was impactful. I want to kind of paint a picture for the listeners that may not have been able to attend. Like, how impactful was the speech to you? Like, what was key takeaways? Boogie, why don't you go first, and then we'll ask Cap as well.
So I was trying to think about what I would say was my thoughts on his speech, but I think he was very insightful, and I like how he spoke. He spoke not just to the fans, but he spoke directly to the students as well. He spoke about the importance of taking advantage of being in a place of higher education. Educate yourself while you have the time and the place and the means and the people around you that are willing to impart that knowledge to you. Take advantage of it. This is a time and a place where you can grab hold of yourself and ground yourself. And I also like how he spoke also to young people as far as getting involved. You know, he said, you know, people have the apathy about, you know, becoming involved in the political process or the political machine. And he was saying how it's okay to want to be a part of it, but it's also up to, you know, people of our generation to make sure that it's okay for them to want to do it. And if you don't, you're kind of just be out there lost and floating along, and that's not a good thing. You know, take advantage of, you know, where you are in your in a stage in life and get involved and don't sit on the side and wonder what's going on, because mm-hmm. sooner or later you'll be in your 40s. Like, what happened? You know? And I just like that. You know, I'm all about, you know, teach one, educating the youth and empowering them. So anytime anyone speaks to the youth, it always, you know, tugs at my little heartstrings a little bit.
Cap, how about you?
So, I mean, a lot of things, actually, to be honest with you. The one that, yeah, he, you know, Boogie touched upon it was the fact of how he, you know, told these students the importance of, you know, what where you're at and how you should take advantage of it. You know, I've been to some, you know, some Q&As where, you know, with certain hip hop artists where they kind of downplayed, you know, kind of like schools and stuff like that. And talking about how it's being a system and everything, you know, but I think it was kind of surprising to me in a way where Chuck actually praised it and said, you know, he used it. He gave you two levels of it where it's like, learn, you know, you're here, learn, but it's also on you, because remember, school is a big business. And, you know, just like, yeah, you know, if you don't make it and you fail and you leave the next day, they don't care because they got somebody else coming in right after you the next year. So the whole thing is like for him to really put it on the student to be like, look, you know, this is now on you because you're paying for this. You know what I mean? Maybe some of you got scholarships, whatever, but some of them don't. And it's all tuition that they're going to, you know, be paying for a while. So it's like, if you're going to be putting all this money into this or spending all this money, like make it something that's going to be worth something you're going to use in the future for, or viable for your, you know, for your future. And I think that was really dope that he stressed that. I was very surprised, to be honest with you. I thought he was going to come out on some straight up political, you know, F the system, dead prez, you know, here we go. Like, it's like, you know, I was telling Arm, I was like, I'm going to play They Schools by Dead Prez. No, just like, but you know, but he didn't, he, I think it was dope knowing that he has a background, you know, and went to Delphi and graduated and, you know, did what he did. So I think it was also dope saying the fact that he flunked out and came back. You know what I mean? I think it's important that people know, like, you know, you know, if you first you don't succeed, try again. So I think that was dope too, that type of message of him being like, yeah, I messed up, I flunked out, but I came back and did what I had to do. And, you know, obviously, you know, he went from there. The biggest takeaway for me, to be real with you, is that he was the setup for what is known as the drawing board for Def Jam. Mm-hmm. That is insane, because the drawing board is basically anything you saw on Def Jam, be it from album covers to logos to, you know, whatever. That was all the drawing board. So, I mean, me as I went to school, I went to High School of Art and Design, and I was, you know, going into school for art. I was doing commercial art and cartooning. I was majoring in that. Knowing that he was a part of that, and he was instrumental in the beginning of that, in the early stages of Def Jam, and then eventually drawing board becoming what it was. I mean, that to me was like, wow, because like from an artist's perspective, that to me was just huge to hear, you know, because, you know, that really got to me, because I was like, wow, like I have total respect for the drawing board. I mean, any album cover from basically from 88 to 94, 95, I mean, that's all drawing board Def Jam. And like, you know, those were iconic album covers, you know, or even details or whatever was done on the album cover itself. And what was dope was when, you know, I gave him my 345s, which somebody told me not to. And then it came out to be one of the dopest parts of the night. Nah, so I had my 45s of Public Enemy, handed it to him. He like freaked out. He was like, look, I told you we got 45s. But what was dope was he started breaking down to me. And like, look, I designed this. This is what I did here. Like, you know, just to know that he designed those iconic 12-inch or 7-inch covers that I have. I mean, that just to me is like, wow, like that's crazy. Like he did a lot. And it's so dope to know that somebody like him, like, to be real with you, that inspired me a lot right now. Like, you know, after seeing him, you know, I ended up, you know, I was at a Comic-Con and I started looking at comic books again and started looking at drawings again and artwork. And I came home and were sketching again. And, you know, so for me, man, like that was just dope inspiration, like just coming out of the woodwork that, you know, I was just looking forward to being like, yo, Chuck D, that's it. You know what I mean? Like Chuck D's here and like meeting my icon, like my iconic hero. And next thing you know, now I'm being inspired again, like a second wind of like, man, like, that's really dope. Like, I didn't even know, to be real with you, I'm kind of upset at myself that I didn't even know he did a graphic novel of Apocalypse 91. And then Malik's there with it. Malik's showing it to me. And I'm just there like, wow, I didn't even know he had that. So, I mean, it was dope. That was dope that, mm-hmm. you know, he just, you know, that all those things that he has been doing since the PE stuff, like, that was pretty dope to know. Like, it was eye-opening and also, like, wow, like, that's pretty cool. Like, just getting that vibe from him. And overall, real, 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 real down-to-earth, humble homie. You know what I mean? Like, just came off the bat. Like, you know, I mean, you're talking to a guy, man. I've seen them all. I've hung out with them all. You know what I mean? And there's, like, maybe, and I could count maybe on both hands how many have been, like, so humble. And he's definitely one of them. Like, he was so, you know, so accommodating, so gracious, so very cool with everybody. He was right off the bat just being, you know, he could have came in being militant and have no smile. You know what I mean? Like, he could have came that way. And we would have been like, yeah, that's cool. That's Chuck D. Like, we ain't gonna say shit to him. You know what I mean? But he had a smile the whole time. And, you know, he was shaking hands with everybody, hugging everybody. And I was just like, wow, that's what's up. That's dope. So. And, you know, somebody in his age, because sometimes, you know how they say, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because you never know. You know, you're going to get that, you know, you're going to be like, oh, man. And I've met people like that. I've met people that I was like totally disappointed after meeting them. So, but Chuck, you know, and Chuck D could have easily landed on that. He could have been maybe had an off day and been mad pro-political and being like, you know. Like being on some crazy, you know, but he wasn't. He was very, very, very accommodative, very dope, very gracious and everything. Gracious is, I think, the word that all of us are using, you know, when it comes to, you know, defining him that day. So, and he definitely was cool. So,
yeah. Dana, right? Any reflections of your own?
Yeah, Cap said it He was inspirational, and I had a similar reaction about like, oh, I got to meet Chuck D. That would have been like it. But then I went home with so many notes in my notebook and so many things to think about. And one of them being, he did took a question from the student that was about, you know, what we do about younger artists. And he brought out this prism metaphor that he was being a prism to shine light on other people and younger artists. And I thought, wow, it like made the prism go off in my head. Like, whoa, that's what I'm doing with, yeah, you know, whatever things that I'm doing in higher ed and the podcast and everything. So I walked away a lot more inspired than I thought I was going to be just meeting a hero, a literal hero. Yep. Of mine.
Yeah. And if I could share a couple reflections,
yeah,
you know, listen to Public Enemy, you grow up and it's something you never heard and it's very militant, you know, with the way they perform and his crew, S1Ws and all this stuff. And you kind of don't know what to expect. You're like, is he going to come out like that? Like you said, Cab. And then it's like, man, what a renaissance. He's like a renaissance man. You know, he's done the graphic novels. He's done the emceeing. I would never think he would mention Pilates and like his spiritual journey a little bit. And like how he I was like, what's this all about? It's probably like the Rick Rubin effect, you know, the Zen master. But it was like, all these little bits of inspiration, these nuggets and gems of wisdom. I was like, wow, like this guy is like unreal. Like just when you think it's just like, all right, this is a hip hop legend. He's inspiring kids to, you know, take advantage of their facilities. He's, you know, go to libraries, talking about when he grew up and Bill Russell's story, who was his hero and how he fell in love with library, would go there every single day. And he's talking about scholars are the people that read everything, not just what they like, and be a citizen of the world and like have a friend in another country and like think bigger and get out of your comfort zone and all that stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Inspiration.
Like, really, really
inspirational.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. There was one thing though that really touched me about him too. And it's not even about what he said, but it was at the end when we were all lining up to take our pictures. And I knew that there was a long line, so I wasn't trying to hold up the line or anything like that. And we took our, you know, we took our picture with him. And I under my breath, I was like, man, I wanted to get a solo picture. And I think, and he heard me. He's like, come on, let's do it. And I'm like, what? How? Huh? What? Like, and I actually got to take a picture with him. Like, cause I mean, like Chuck D, like for me, like hit the lyrics made me, they reinforced my desire to learn, because if you like, I'm listening to the lyrics and he's name dropping, he's naming different situations, different instances, different atrocities and things like that have happened throughout history. And you hear him, you're like, well, what is that about? So immediately, like, I'm trying to look up these things or whatever he's talking about. So I'm learning about this stuff. Like, some of the stuff is, you know, the teachers taught, and some of the stuff the teachers never taught. But it's funny because, like now as an adult, like, some of the stuff that I hear people talking about, like, man, I never heard about this. I'm like, man, I heard about that when I was, like, in eighth grade or something like that. And it's because I heard Chuck D mention it in a rhyme, and I ran and looked it up to see who he was talking about, you know, or what situations, things he was talking about. So, you know, it was like, you know, that was very meaningful for me to have that. And he was just like, wow, yeah, come on, hurry up. Let's do this. And he was so, like you said, with the humility and the humbleness, you know, not like, all right, man, all right, go ahead, yo, like, go ahead. He's like, come on, no, let's do this. And that touched me.
Yeah, the music historian, American historian, black culture, and he was like self-deprecating humor a little bit too, which was awesome, because he was like, I'm a country guy. And I was like, I didn't even know why they have two turntables. Maybe one's a backup in case the one breaks down. I'm like, are you serious? Like, that was hilarious.
That was hilarious. It was
a backup. Amazing.
Yeah, it was a trip. Oh, but.
So have either Cap or Arm, have you guys had either of you guys met Chuck D before last week?
Met him when I was 15 at Lehigh University at an event in a you know, an auditorium, probably 100 people or what have you. And that was at like Fear of a Black Planet time. And, you know, and also I just, another thing is like hip hop was on the margins at the time. So it wasn't like he was a marquee name, so to speak, the way that he is now, you know. It's like you had to know about Public Enemy, sort of like Boogie was saying, like you had to go learn about this stuff, you know. That's what I think that hip hop of that era was really great at, was it required you to kind of dig in. And he was there with Harry Allen. That's why I met. I mean, I met him. I got his autograph, and it was he wasn't. It, you know, it's interesting hearing you guys say like which persona was going to arrive. When I think back to that time in 1991, I think it is. Yeah, 1991. The Chuck S1W like showed up. Like it was a pretty I don't know what the word is for it. You know, like I don't want to say confrontational. But like, you know, it was also Lehigh in the like early 90s. So like, I remember somebody heckling him or whatever. And like, he was like, you know what, you know, I've spoken enough. I'm gonna turn it over to Harry Allen. And Harry Allen's also like, you know, we think of him as the punchline and don't believe the hype, but like, he's a established journalist and historian. And he's also very adept at interviews. And he took over the end of the talk. And, kind of shut people down. It was kind of wild, you know. They you know, so yeah, that I had so a little bit of experience before. I don't know, Cap, had you come across him in any
I never came across Chuck at all. I think the closest I came to Chuck was actually I threw a party with Flavor Flav. That was kind of it. So I made, you know, finally got the connection. I had Flav do a party with me, and now I'm DJing at the Chuck D Q&A. So, I mean, that was the connection. But nah, I definitely didn't have it with him and stuff. But
part of the reason why I picked him though is that he has developed a reputation of being approachable, and in all of our conversations about what we were with management about what we wanted to do, like the access part was a big deal for me, you know, like I just wanted to demystify, if you will, a little bit, like, you know, these people are human beings. They're just like you and I, like, and create some connection. It's like finding the right artists who can convey that. And Chuck D was that dude. And that's my understanding. That's kind of how he's been rolling for the last 10 years or so, maybe more, but like, no doubt the last 10 years he's taken on a role as like an ambassador sort of for Public Enemy, for hip hop, etc. And he's the perfect guy for it. He seems to have the right temperament for it.
Yeah, he's seen lots of things, and now he can be the elder statesman.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Sure.
So what was your biggest takeaway just hanging out with him behind the scenes? What was that guy like?
You know, he was largely like very similar. I mean, I like it was cool to, you know, have a couple private moments with him, you know, before the events began and in the green room and so on. I mean, I'd say the only moment, you know, the militant Chuck came out was when I started popping junk about the Knicks and my, you know, and the Boston Celtics, and he wasn't having it. He didn't want to hear it, you know. He said something really interesting. I was like, man, you can't front on Jaylen Brown, man. Not only is he a great player, but look at the way he uses his platform. And Chuck shot back at me. He was like, he's just doing what a man's supposed to do. I was like, word up. All right. You know what I mean? And so, you know, Jaylen Brown's like one of the few NBA stars that will take certain stances and, you know, use his prestige and power to kind of make political points, etc. And Chuck was like, I'm not impressed, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, but if he was a Knick,
he was a Knick. He wasn't playing for the Celtics. I mean, that's,
but it was funny. I mean, those conversations, I thought those conversations would be fun to have with him, like when we were in the green room, and like, he wasn't having it. He was like, I don't want to, you know, Stop making jokes about the Knicks. It's not funny, you know. Like, I was like, all right, we haven't even stepped on stage. I don't want to leave a sour note, you know. So I'll chill with this.
Well,
yeah. he said. He said something like, he was like, well, listen, when we lose, I know it's been a good season. I was like, there's your problem. You're saying that they lose. And he got mad about that. He got mad. He was just like, you don't know what it's like to be a Knicks fan. I don't want to hear it. You've had a championship.
Well, they're beating Sixers now, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Knicks fans are hilarious.
Well, when you get Spike Lee next year, hilarious.
We can have this conversation.
My God.
Yes.
Yeah. Can we have I'll wear a Reggie Miller jersey. Yeah.
Even like this, you just walk up to him like this.
I'll come with a Michael Jordan jersey.
It's funny. I thought it would be like funny, you know, but
yeah,
you know, he didn't play about that. It was,
no, I guess he takes the sports seriously.
Funny, and it's not. He didn't really want to talk NBA. Yeah. He was like, I was like, you know what? I'll give you this. I was like, the NBA is better when the Knicks are good, like Madison Square Garden, the whole nine, it's exciting. He was like, I don't care about that.
Yes.
I just want my Knicks to win.
That's classic.
So it was cool to see, you know, that's something he's
passionate
about, you know, and
that's real.
Anybody who's a sports fan knows there's a certain irrationality to our sports fandom, and that's part of the fun of it, you know. And,
that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks haven't been in the finals for a million years, so I'm sure he's salty plenty.
25. Is that right? 25 years.
A million, you know, who's counting?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Celtics fan. I don't know. I mean, this is difficult to hear.
This is difficult. Interview's over.
I'm just busting down.
James McIntosh. I mean,
that is forever.
I know.
There's 50 years. Donna
Wright and I are 76ers fans. Boogie's a Bulls fan. Cap, who you pull for?
I'm
NBA?
A Sixers fan.
Sixers, yeah.
No,
they did get jobbed by the referees. There's all these things coming out, like the last 2 minutes of all these games. I think they're the league salty about the process, how they tanked all those years and trying to get.
I don't listen.
As long as the Lakers lose,
they treated Maxie like somebody at like 42nd Street in like 1989. They rolled up on him quick. They took that ball, but listen,
yeah,
I don't know what the other four Sixers were doing. They were like they were like standing around watching. That's those last 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was very Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I'm not even watching it. I'm just seeing the aftermath and being like, yeah. Because I know how this tale's going to end, so it doesn't even matter.
Well, pretty much.
As long as the Lakers are out, that's all I'm about. Yeah. That's all I'm about.
See, Lakers sports is a great unifier.
Yes,
or divider.
Yeah, it is.
Well, on that note, you kind of got into him a little bit with the Knicks, but did it make you nervous, or were you already nervous to do the interview and all the conversation stuff?
I mean, yeah, for sure. But a lot of work went into this. I mean, as we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, like ideas about this began a year ago. And then, you know, I had time to sketch it out, you know, early on and just kind of bounce ideas off of people I could trust. And then most importantly, I want to give a huge shout out to the people I worked with at NCC, particularly the vice provost. E-Bug, just
shout out to E-Bug,
was an executive, you know, an executive administrator at the college that, essentially, you know, anything that I was envisioning or thought we needed or what have you, she was like, okay, I'm gonna look into see if we can get that. And then in turn, like security and facilities and, a variety of other parts of our college. I want to give the library a big shout out. Like they gave me a lot of the materials to help set up the display and like,
oh, cool.
It was a group effort. So a lot of planning went in, and I'll be honest, like the nerves were sort of like, wow, like a lot of people here, this is rolling, but I felt comfortable with our plan, you know? I felt comfortable with who I was working with. It's part of why I wanted Cap as a DJ. We've been working together for over, you know, I think 25 years, like 98, 99 is when we met. And like when we were running late to be, you know, if there's somebody else, if I'm texting with a sound man or I can't communicate with them or another DJ or whatever, I know who's on the other end and who's buying me time. And I trust them 100%. And so when we were running a little late, I wasn't worried in any kind of way that like, you know, that what we had planned was going wrong. Cause I knew Cap knew what the plan was and knew how to improvise in the time that we had to kind of make up. So, I'll be honest. I kept joking with people like, you know, bring the smelling salts or like I pass out, you know, just run up on stage.
I was ready, man. Like, I was ready.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, I actually felt really good. And some of it was just from the gift. Yeah, you know, from the jump, Chuck was just like, what do you want me to do? You know, like that's like, I think that's a quote. Like, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. You point me in the direction of what you want me to do today and we'll make it happen. And so when you're working with someone like that, it puts you at ease, you know?
Yeah.
It was a good plan. We had a good plan all in all. Good plan, good team. Yep.
It was a great event. From start to finish, great event.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
You know what?
You could tell a lot of work.
You know what I'm gonna tell you right now. You gotta give it up to Arm too for the music, because he, you know, the music, as much as I'm getting now a lot of credit for that night with the music, he should get a lot of it too, because it was actually a playlist he put together of all these songs that he wanted to play in coordination with the night. So he gave me lists for, you know, and time stamps for when he wanted this certain thing and this certain thing played. And then when they came in to play a certain song, and then, you know, when it was done. So, you know, as much as I, you know, people are giving me the credit for being like, yo, Cap, you fuck, you know, every, you know, you killed it. I mean, that's all I've been getting, you know, since that night. I've been getting a ton of, you know, messages and stuff about that. But in the end, like, Arm was the one who actually, like, put that in sequence for me. I mean, he gave me the list. I had to just come up with the flow of them, you know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, it was crazy because, you know, he put on songs there that I had to get that, you know, from, you know, because I, you know, I'm going to be truthful, like, I wasn't really checking for PE after he got Game Soundtrack, basically. So it's just like, you know, I slept on those albums. And then, you know, me and Arm got one together one day. And we were driving around. And he's playing me like all these new joints that I've never heard. And I was just like, oh,
they're good too.
And they're good. Yeah, they're good as shit. So, I mean, the whole thing was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, so for like a whole week, you know, after he gave me the list of all the songs, I put all the playlists together, you know, I was listening to them. So, I mean, because I had to, you know, I had to listen to them. You know, I'm not just going to throw a song on. Like, I had to feel them out. So, and that's where all that came out. So, I mean, you know, and I told them, this is kind of how I want to make it play out. Also, the good thing about PE with their, you know, their beginning skits of every song, it kind of like, that's kind of how I wanted to make it. I wanted to, you know, it kind of made it where I could break down everything. You know, I didn't have to really mix. I just kind of could throw them in, but it still make it an even flow with everything. So the last set while you guys were all standing in line was actually, you know, a joint effort where, you know, he said, you know, maybe we should stay with the conscious tip. Don't play anything, you know, don't play like, you know, all the 90s, you know, blah, 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 that we hear all the time, you know, play a lot of conscious stuff. So I actually had to go on my conscience bag and, you know, bust out some joints and stuff. And, you know, and then, so, you know, I'll be really honest with you, though. When I was playing some of these songs, I'm like, damn, man. I mean, he got board members there. He got all these people and, you know, P saying some shit. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, but, you know, no one came up to me and said, stop playing it. You know, no, nobody said nothing. So I said, I can't wait till my last set then. Because I was like, I got Paris, I got Ice Cube ready, I got all this stuff. So, you know, I went in on that. So, and
Bird in the hand. Yeah.
To hear State of the Union when there's all these, like, you know, college, like, administrators in there, like, yeah, wow.
Exactly.
This could be an incident. Like, this could be an incident.
No, I was waiting.
That's very explicit.
Dude, I was waiting for security or one of the board members to come up to me and be like, cut it off. Like, I was waiting. I was waiting. Yeah. Like, I was seriously.
You're like pulling the plug out. Yeah, of the like wall.
I was waiting for somebody to be. I was waiting for the sound man. And if I heard my volume go down, I'd be like, "Yeah, I know." So, yeah, I mean,
that's why Cap was the right DJ for this, because you know, not many DJs I could go to and say, "Listen, I'm not trying to micromanage what you play this song, and this song, but here's the bag, right? And stick to this bag." However you see fit. And he was willing to do that and make it his own. So it wasn't like he felt constricted. He was like, okay, like how do I make this work? You know? And that I think speaks to his kind of his talent and his ability to kind of see like, okay, this event, it's not just about like, you know, what Cap C does when like he's killing it for Friday night on a dance floor. And like, not every DJ can do that. Like, and do it in a way where you own it and people are then coming up to you being like, yo, you killed it. You know what I mean? And that was dope. And like the part where you're mentioning like, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like that was very purposeful. That was another thing about that was appealing to me about Chuck D for a lot of the reasons like Boogie said about what he represents to me as I came up as a hip hop head, as a scholar, et cetera. Hip hop is good. It's long in the tooth. It's 50 years. It can be watered down. And I mean, it's crazy to me, but you could play a lot of like rah-rah, like, you know, gap busting, drug selling stuff. And it sounds way safer than when you hear Chuck and Flav talk about brothers going to work it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you got to think about that, right? That we're more comfortable with Genocide and Juice than we are hearing about Fight the Power. And so I definitely wanted that in the mix to kind of play with that. That's kind of a part of like what we've been trying to do. We did it, you know, we did a hip hop event in historic Bethlehem, you know, and around all these colonial houses, these white spaces. And I think it's the idea is that, you know, we're trying to shine light, you know, a little bit into these places that, generally play it safe and just kind of play upon that a little bit when people get together. And it feels like going into it, like, oh, what's about to happen? But in actuality, I have this big trust in hip hop and the people that growth comes from it. Like some of that tension is actually diffused because we actually come together. You know, that's the great thing about hip hop is you come together and it's like, okay, all right, I get it. We're not solving the world's problems, but we can break bread.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely say that. I mean, now you could definitely throw an old school jam and not worry about anything happening. Everybody's now a legit, you know, we're all adults now and we're all grown and we all got families and we got kids to come home to and things like that. So I think that's the whole easiness of, you know, yeah, back in the day, yeah, you can't really deny it. Yeah, there was violence at shows and there was, I mean, they say it themselves too, when they were touring, you know, there was freaking, the Bloods came in, the Rolling 80s came in. They, you know, they were shooting up the place, you know, they went into Detroit. Dudes were already shooting before even one song got played yet. Like, that's how it was, you know, but now I think, you know, with this whole 50 and, you know, the culture and us, you know, look at us ourselves. We're fam, you know, we're brothers, we're families, we're, you know, we're dads, we're, you know, we got responsibilities now. We're no longer just, you know, teenagers with, you know, smoking blunts and drinking 40s. Like, and I think that's what makes it more, I think everybody could be more calm with everything that we're doing. And I think even with the music that I was playing, in my mind, I'm thinking it's affecting people in a way, but I probably wasn't, because I think everybody that was in that crowd was a true PE fan or grew up with the music around them, with their friends listening to it. And they were just like, you know what, this is what it is. You know, we're not going to have anything pop off here, but this is educational. I mean, in the end, PE, everything they said was educational. All those songs, as much as they even cursed in it or whatever, that was educational music. You know, just like you said, you know, Boogie, you had to like go and look at books and stuff to find out what they were talking about. You know, that's kind of why I love, you know, the hip hop that I grew up in, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. not only, you know, with PE, but, you know, with even people, you know, like even like people like Paris and Ice Cube and you know, X-Clan and, you know, Brand Nubian and all them and stuff. I mean, you know, from Brand Nubian, I learned, you know, I got into, you know, 5%, you know, not, you know, knowledge and stuff. And, you know, so it's, you know, the educational part of it, I think that's what's dope. And that, you know, we could do that now in this day and time, we could come off that way and bring somebody like a Chuck D to come through and, you know, and educate us, you know what I mean? With his personal, you know, with experiences and stuff and everything. So I think overall, it just, it's come full circle. You know what I mean? Who would ever thought, you know, it, you know, somebody said to me, somebody asked me like, Cap, would you ever, you know, when you started or anything, or ever think that you'd be doing a Q&A with Chuck D and you'd be DJing at it? I'd be, hell no. You know, I would have never thought that in, you know, a million years, you know what I mean? But it's happening and it's here. So I think that's dope. And I think that that speaks volumes. So, and then who knows the you know, stuff that, you know, me and Armor throwing around right now, who knows, anything could happen, you know, in the next year or two. So let's see where it goes. So
can't wait for next Armor, year.
You guys are raising the bar. Let's say the bar has been raised so high. Like who's next?
You know what? The bar has been raised. And you know what? And I'm, you know what? And here's the thing, like, and you know, me and Arm talk about this all the time. We're, you know, we have doing the things that we've done in the past year, you know, and Arm definitely leading the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, let's get this done and stuff. And we did it, you know, it's been done. It's done. So now it's like, where are we going in the future now with this? But the bar has been raised, and I think a lot of people out there, if you're going to try to do something, you definitely got to take it up a next level. Now, you're right. I mean, you know, the debating on who would be the next, you know what I mean? I mean, if should we say who we think we should do it with? Like, I personally, you know, well, I'll say it because I brought it up, and I think, you know, should I say it?
Sure.
Of course, why not? I mean, whatever. I personally think the next one, honestly, we should bring Common here because
Common does, he does college.
He does college. You know, he performed at,
I saw him last
year. Well, he performed at Moravian. Princeton last, you know, he was in Moravian like 15 years ago. So yeah, he was at Moravian and stuff, but that was, he performed at that one. That wasn't no Q&A or nothing, but I think now where he's at, you know, and you know, let's talk about, you know, why I came to that conclusion of Common is the fact of, like, with these Q&As, you got to find someone who, you know, is the overall, like, is it gonna appeal not only to our age group, but is it also gonna appeal to the younger crowd? Is it gonna be, you know, is this person gonna be insightful in certain things? And yeah. I think Common, from the way I see Common, is the fact that, you know, he literally has grown in our eyes from every single, if you really look at his collection of music alone, I mean, he went from, you know, being a, you know, and he'll admit it, he went from being a total drunk and blunthead to, you know, where he's at. And he shows that in every album. You could see the growth and the pattern of it in every single album. You know, obviously Resurrection was like a straight up 180 from his, you know, Can I Borrow a Dollar? And then obviously then, you know, he did, you know, like Water for Chocolate. And then, he did Electric Circus, which is still his most left field shit ever. And then it's like, but then he came back with B, and then, you know, you could see how, his growth. And then obviously becoming an actor and being a successful actor at that. I mean, shit, you know, where he's at in that position and stuff. And then he's also a best-selling writer, and, you know, the books that he's put out and the message that he still drops in every single album is so universal. It's all about love now for him. Like, everything he does, you know, his last couple of albums were so dope. I personally think they were great. You know, some people might think they were a little too light, too soft. I think they were dope. And, you know, he does his thing. He's still doing his, you know, to me personally, still doing his thing, and he's still ill. Like, he's dropped freestyles lately on LA Leakers and stuff, and he's killed it. Always killed it. So I think Common would be like the perfect fit of somebody that we should, you know, try to bring out here. Now, Arm took it to the real next level. He's like, well, I just don't want to do a Q&A. I want to do a Q&A and performance. And I'm like, well, yo, hey, why not? You know what I mean? And I think Common would be that dude. He'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do a Q&A and a performance. I'm down. Let's go. So I think Common would be the perfect fit. So
I think to get at like JB's general question about raising the bar is like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've been DJing since I was 9, and it's like, I've been a part of like, you know, club scenes or like part of hip hop groups and ciphers and so on. Like I think all of those things, they're like the bedrock of hip hop culture. And I've been done doing them, and I'm cool. I'm cool with them, and I'm gonna go visit them and so on. But like, that's not where I'm trying to show and prove anymore. Like, and it's not, it's just like, I'm interested in things that bring a wide group of people together. Because one of the things that kind of like coming through this, I would say I'm most proud of, so to speak, is that as best as we could, every event we did somehow married the four elements of hip hop together. You know, sometimes all four, sometimes just two, whatever it was. And I think it's kind of, that's when hip hop is its most dynamic and most powerful. When those things, I mean, think about how Cap was sharing where Chuck D's words about being a graphic design artist was so inspiring for him. You know what I mean? Where it's more than just rapping. It's mm-hmm. more than just DJing. Like when these things get atomized, they become weaker. And so I'm very much interested in like developing platforms and spaces and events where we're experiencing these things together, you know? Everybody throws around that like, yo, hip hop's a culture. And it's like, yeah, that's right. You got to tend to that. Like it's a garden. You know what I mean? You can't just, it's not just, words, you know, like you have a responsibility to it. And I think, you know, a big reason why, you know,
absolutely,
we Cap and I like sought you guys out because we saw that you guys found something that you had a love and a passion for, hip hop and movies. And you were going to, you know, you weren't just, it wasn't just a one-off kind of thing. Like you were going to like explore that as deep and far as it can go. And that's the kind of thing that I'm down to kind of keep pursuing.
I was like, yo, this shit is happening in my backyard. Yeah. And I don't even know about it. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Cap's like, what the fuck? That's like I do a couple.
It's fun,
you know, in New Jersey that's for a crazy weekend, and like, look what happens. I lose territory. That was
you don't even understand. I'm there on Facebook, and next thing you know, I'm like Hip Hop Movie Club. Now I saw it, and all it said was Hip Hop Movie Club, and I said, "Oh, that's interesting." But then I saw the post, and I'm like, "Oh, they're having something. That's cool." Then I look at the address and I'm like, wait, what, Kanji? Wait, what the hell? This is happening. Wait,
who community thought? Center.
This is happening in my backyard. I don't even know about this. Like, what's going on here? So, and I called him. First person I called was Arb. Yo. This thing hit my movie club. So.
What I find interesting is that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like Hip Hop Movie Club, you know, that's where like that you guys go into a space like that to represent the culture. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like, think about Wild Style and the way that they went downtown and all those artists like found a way to break out. That's what really interests me. Like I'm not trying to front or try to disrespect like the bedrock of like, you know, hip hop clubs and ciphers and things like that. But I'm also, you know, I'm like those things, I don't know. I like checking in on those things. They keep you kind of like green or hungry or what have you. But at the same time, I'm also interested in like kind of evangelizing this shit, and like taking this to as many people as possible. Cause that's what I see Chuck doing. Chuck's like, you know, like he's,
yeah,
like Dino, you said it a few minutes ago. He's a worldly guy. Like that's really inspiring to me. Like, you know,
I love that he was so complimentary of the area and the Lehigh Valley.
I like
it's beautiful out here. He loved Philadelphia. I was like, all right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we've established with some of these folks we've worked with that we have, we're not just like, you know, fans. Like we have, one, our own scene. Two, we have a profound respect. Like, you know what I mean? For what they do. And Pop, who was Chuck's security detail, you saw the dude that was kind of shadowing him. Mm-hmm. He's a former S1W. Like, you know, Pop didn't crack a smile the whole night, you know, and that's not his job, right? Like his job is to keep his head on a swivel and just be aware of everything going on. And at the end of the night, as they were leaving, I say my goodbye to Pop. And he said to me, he said, "This is one of the best academic hip hop events we've ever been to." And I was like, "Awesome." Well, if Pop says it, you know what I mean? Like Chuck's probably going to say that out of the kindness of his heart. But if Pop said it, then we made an impression. And I think like that's what I'm trying to do, is show them the respect of the effort, the time, the time and effort and sacrifice they put into their music and the culture. We just try to give a little bit back, you know, to show them things, you know.
And that's how it should be done. Like I think that's definitely something from here on out, any type of event that you know, be it we come up with to do, should definitely be also very respectful to whatever artists we bring out here. The one thing is, you got to understand something, like when these guys all started and they were all going on tour, they were coming through here. They performed here. Like, you know, all of them, Tribe, you know, I know Tribe was out here. I know De La was here. Black Sheep was here. I know, you know.
Public Enemy's second show was at State.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, wow. They came through here. So, but they came through here during a time when there was a lot of, you know, just fields of grass and wheat and, like, you know, the cornfields. Like, they didn't see that now, the hustle and bustle of what we are now. So I think coming back and now being like, oh, this ain't, you know, Drez was just here. You know, he was over at Main Gate, and it was around the same time we were doing our Dilla event. And, you know, I was trying to get Drez to come through, but he had, you know, he had the Main Gate stuff and whatever. But, you know, I hit him up later on and he was like, "Yo, I'm so," you know, he did apologize. He said, "You know, my bad. I could have definitely swung through, but I couldn't, you know, I didn't really know my time frame." But he at the same time was like, "Yo, I'm going to be real with you, though, man. You guys, for who, you know, for an area like you are, you know, you guys are doing a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you are doing your thing. Like, you got things going on." So, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, I think they never thought that this area would grow as it grew. And it has. We, you know, Lehigh Valley, even myself, I moved out here when I was 15. You know, I'm 47 now. So I've been here a lot, you know, to the point where I claim the Lehigh Valley. You know, I'm not like some dude who's still claiming, you know, New York and shit. I've been there in, like, you know, 30 plus years. You know what I mean? No, I'm a Lehigh Valley head. But the thing is, it's like, you know, it's about showing them, you know, hey, we're not to be slept on. And I mean, you know, from a DJ standpoint, you know, a lot of DJs, and I'm telling you, I've heard it from a lot. They all tell me we have the most hardest. We are the hardest spot for them to come through and bless. So a lot of us DJs, amongst DJs from Philly, New York, Jersey, whatever, like, they show us a lot of respect, because when they come over here, like, it's tough. They say it. They're like, "We're the toughest crowds to please." So when, you know, and when they rock with us, they're like, "Damn, you guys really hold it down." So, you know, for us to represent the Valley that way, you know what I mean? We need to come across and definitely, you know, raise the bar on everything, you know, and show these people that, you know, we're not just a middle thing between New York and, you know, Philly or whatever. Like, you know, we got to be recognized now, and people are recognizing us. So I think that's the next step too, that, you know, especially with hip hop culture, there's artists out here that have done things. There's people that are doing things, you know? So I think we got to start elevating that up. So, and, you know, we've been doing it, man. You know, my crew alone, Stick Figures back in the day, you know what I mean? I mean, shit, we opened for the Fugees, you know? And then it's like, you know, things like that. You know, there's other people that have done other stuff too. And it's just, it's a, you know, that stuff that now has to be put out there. I think we should just do a documentary. I think a documentary should be done on, like, basically what the hip hop scene has been out here. So, a lot of stories, a lot of, you know, legends, you know, local, be it and everything. But I think everybody should get their flowers. So.
Make the documentary happy, and we can screen it at the Alehouse.
I'll get my son on the project. He's studying film, so like he mentioned something about, should I do something about hip hop movie clothes? Yeah, I was like, talk to Arm and Cap because these guys have stories and they've been doing it. So maybe there's something there. awesome. What's next for 50 years down the line, Arm? What's next? Besides, you know, the potential that you guys just mentioned for Comet.
Yeah, I mean,
anything else directly planned?
We're planting seeds on, like, you know, could we somehow replicate or even take what we did with Chuck D to a next level, knowing, you know, also knowing that it would take a year or two to, like, put something like that together, because it took a year to put this together, right? I would say most immediate, I'm trying to ride the coattails on, have you heard of the Hip Hop Movie Club podcast? August 16th, all right, house party, I'm going to be there. I'll be there for a house party at Steel Stacks, DJing and so on. I'm really looking forward to that. You guys have more than one movie there, right? You have a couple other dates this year, yep.
Yeah, September, we'll be doing 8 Mile. In November, we'll be doing Boys in the Hood. We're not announcing the exact dates yet because some of the stuff might shift. But, yeah, we have 3 more movies this year.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm looking forward to working with you guys on that stuff and kind of, I don't know, reverse the roles a little bit, you know, and watch you guys take this to where you want it to go and – I'll play the role of soldier and just, you know, I also have to chill a little bit, like, for real.
Yeah, you need a vacation, bro.
I have to chill a little bit. Like yeah. It's wild. It's been a decompression over the last week.
I bet.
You know,
that'll do, pig.
I really, really like, I mean, all the things we've done and I'm proud of them and Chuck D's my dude. It's also like really relaxing not to have to worry about like, do we have the right meal in the green room for Chuck D and his security detail? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, these are the things that kept me up for the last 2 weeks. And it's like, yeah. Okay, this is all done. It's all done. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I used to run a green room at Ryder, so I get it.
I'm sure those M&Ms are the right color, you know? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, it's cool. It's great. It's really great.
Yep. You know,
and doing something like this helps me kind of unwind and get perspective on it. And I appreciate all the things you guys have said about it. Really, really do. Doing it for you just as much as the culture is for the friends, yep. You know, this is what makes it all good.
Yeah. We were just reflecting. I can't believe we haven't even known you guys for a full year. That was June of last year when we met you at that library event. So crazy amount of stuff we've collaborated on, and it's only growing. So thanks for including us. We never thought we'd be rubbing elbows with Chuck D when we started this a couple years ago. Like, it's outrageous.
I still want that sample you guys signed that you gave away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ha!
We had it. That was Chuck D. digital signature. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right.
Yeah, thank
you very much.
It was a pleasure.